Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Is that better?
Much better.
Oh, I apologize. I don't know what I was doing. I'm on speaker now. So
yes, much better, Sherry. Yeah, I think the earbuds might have been causing an issue.
Okay. All right.
All right. Here's our assignment from Good morning. Our assignment from yesterday. Do your daily practice. Today have a focus on kindness, all the kindness you receive and all the kindness you offer. And here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, dear. Might not be just me.
Hello, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Ramita in Charleston.
Hello, Ramita. Glad to hear you.
Yeah. Really. Glad to be here. Happy to be here. I've been, I'm literally just returning today from a two-week camping trip where I've been off the grid, out of the loop with technology, which has been quite a kindness.
Mm-hmm.
But I also caught this morning, you know, the conversation saying, you haven't been participating in the year-long retreat. You don't know what the assignment is for today. You can't call in. And so I knew that was exactly what I'm doing, kind of calling in and getting some of the kindness of participating with Sangha.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Ashwini and I were having a brief conversation about that just yesterday. And what I was opining is that one of the things that I hope is happening with Sangha through these year-long retreats is putting paid to that nonsense of because you're not keeping up, you can't participate. 'Cause that has been such a pervasive scam. And what I'm hearing from people is that awareness that, no, all that's required is to be here now. And and what we talked about yesterday a little bit is, and then we tend to want to catch up on assignments because it's a fun way to be with ourselves, not because there's some sort of pressure to meet a standard.
Yeah, so true, so clear. And I agree, the structure of this retreat over and over, same process, different content, process is just getting so clear and how to work with whatever the bamboozles are that are coming up. So I was out in the beautiful western mountains of Wyoming, just being here, there, and practicing like crazy. And yet conditioning wasn't going to give me any of the credit for that. And I know better than to look to conditioning to tell me.
That's right. Because it only gives credit to itself. It doesn't matter what we do. Yeah, the standards are just something to keep the conversation going. It's really rooting for us never to meet any of its standards. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the greatest kindness in the world is to not pay any attention to that and just keep doing what the heart wants to do.
Yes, which is be present with life and open and whole.
Yeah. Yes, everything else lines up authentically behind that.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Yeah, so it's been a month of fitness, and part of it has been mental fitness for me, and this dynamic we're talking about right now is a big piece of that. So, very grateful.
Building those muscles, building those, drop the conversation, get here. Think about in the world of bodybuilding, a clean and jerk, okay?
Yeah.
and then drop this giant weight on the floor when you're finished, right? And that's what we're doing. We're dropping conditioning. We're dropping ego in that way, and then being here. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ramita.
I'm back.
Yeah.
Bye.
Very good. All right. Go happy.
You too.
I love that phrasing, Sherry, that doing the assignment then becomes simply a way, a fun way to be with ourselves.
Yeah.
It's also what we're talking about, you know, doing a practice is one thing. Practicing presence is another process. Because you could do practices all the time and never practice being present.
Well, yes. If I may, that was another conversation we had recently where, in which I said, you've got to do a musings article on that, please, because the point that you were making is that one. We can spend all of our time doing practices, which can be a process of being in relationship with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, as it guides us in our practices, and never get around to practicing being present.
Yeah. So what Ramita was talking about, which is when I'm in the wilds of Wyoming, I can practice being present without doing any, within quotes, practices, like meditation, for example, or these assignments. But I'm still practicing present. And then when I get back, I catch up on the assignments because it's a fun way to be with me.
Yes.
Just meditating is a fun way to be with the intelligence that animates.
Yes. Yes. And never losing sight of what we're going for is being here, not a checklist of practices that I do every day. It's, I don't know if people are getting the subtlety of that or if it feels subtle to people. It was astonishing phrasing to me, just an extremely helpful, simple phrasing of the difference between not noticing that ego is, in quotes, guiding me to do all of these, this checklist of practices, and calling that awareness practice, rather than practicing dropping all of it and being here to listen to the guidance of the intelligence that animates us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ashwini,
okay.
I don't know how
yes.
I sound, but you sound a bit iffy at this point.
You sound clear, but is that better?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, okay. Dramatically. Thank you. All right.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Hi, this is Christina in Southern California.
Well, hello, Christina. Are you
planning
for retreat?
Not yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a last-minute packer, admittedly.
Okay. All right, well, as long as you get packing done and get there, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
So what do you see?
I will get there. Well, I was actually looking at some version of what you were just talking about this month, and that is that I think how I normally would have approached the topic this month is to put myself on some kind of fitness program, you know, like make a, you know, and call it a commitment, but it would really be a fitness program, and which is okay, you know, under certain circumstances. But it was really clear to me this month that I didn't need something else like that to do. What I needed to do was tune into my body multiple times a day and just be present with it and then see what arises, which is a lovely practice and requires a whole lot of support, you know, via little text messages or, you know, alarms, things like that to help remind me. And I got to see yesterday morning in particular that there is a there's like a fear, and of course if there's a fear then it's always, you know, a big flag that conditioning is at work, that this is a cop out of some sort. And I've seen this come up in other contexts that, you know, if I'm not you know, making this
Being driven.
Very clear. Being driven, right. And getting, also, but it would phrase it more like making a very clear commitment than I'm getting bamboozled into not really showing up or something very evil like that, because it really adopts my commitment to practice and my devotion to awareness practice as a way of, you know, causing me to suffer. And so, and I just doubled down on it, you know, like, actually, no, this is, I had a crazy August in terms of content and thinking my whole life was about to shift, you know, our location was about to shift. I was doing all kinds of stuff. I added so many things to my list that took a huge physical toll on me. And, this month was a time to really not add, but just be present to the body, to the emotions, to, you know, all of it.
Well, it does all come together in that way, right? Because in that, coming back to the body, since the body is always in the present, right? It is coming back to presence. And the faith in that is, if there's something I need to know, I'm going to receive that information without fear.
Yeah.
Because intelligence
exactly.
guide us through fear of making a mistake. Right?
Yes. Yeah. That's such a good point. Yeah. Yes.
And that is it. That is the practice of coming back to presence. So I do come back to the body. I've loved all of the things that people have talked about this month of, you know, what can I do in this moment to be with the body? What movement, what now? That arises from presence, not from a program where I have to find a time during the day and I have to do X, Y, and Z, which can be fine, you know, if it's something that actually supports me and it doesn't have that layer of, and if I do it, I'm a good person, and if not, I'm not a good person.
Exactly. Yes. And also, for me personally, there was a level of compassionate discipline that was present, because, you know, things would drop in like, oh, wouldn't it really be fun if I could make time in the week to do this, you know, Bikram yoga class, you know, three mornings at, you know, 5 a.m. or whatever, you know, and there is that, like, welling up of, wow, wouldn't that be great, you know, and this enthusiasm that's kind of sitting there dangling in front of me, and to be like, actually, no, right now, not now, you know, someday.
Yes, it would be. You know, that's what we call the Thoreau. Okay, I'll tell you briefly what that is. So Thoreau spent a lot of time just walking around looking at all these fabulous things and pretending he owned them. You know, so here's this beautiful farm, and it's his, and those are his cows, and that's his corn, and all of that, and having the experience of having all of that, and then walking off without needing to care for it or pay taxes on it or try to
come up with a plan to get it.
That's right. And I learned that from my teacher because he lived in that place. And we could build that over there, and we could do that, and then we would do this. And, you know, for a long time, I thought he was serious. And I thought, we got to get on this program because how are we going to get all this done? And then I realized, wouldn't it be great to go to a Bikram's class at 5 a.m. three times a week? Yes. Uh-huh. Are we doing it? No.
I love it. And also in that moment, you have the enthusiasm and you have that feeling. You know, you
There's
can feel
all
the
enjoyment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All,
yeah,
the,
yeah.
All the enjoyment and none of the downside. And you know, Christina, I think we can live there. I think it's you know, it's part of my latest little game of what do I love best about this? You know, what do I love best about now? You know, and then you have to look around and see, oh, I love that, and I love that. Oh, my gosh, I love that, and I love that. And then now I'm into a new now. So it just goes on and on and on and on, you know, with all the things I love. Do I have to do anything about anything? Not really.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for that.
Super fun, huh? All right.
It's super fun. Super fun. See you soon. Can't wait.
Okay,
gotcha. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Christina.
Oh, it's just so fun to live Thoreauing, Sherry, because
Thoreauing.
I think that that's a, yes, it's such a clear example to me of what we talk about living in process rather than content.
Mm.
It's the clearest example of that, that enthusiasm and anticipation and laughter and
excitement.
It's not because we built it. It's because we're thinking about it, right? Or
yeah.
Not thinking about it, but being in the process of possibility rather than
that's right.
The
something
being
else. In the present with it.
Yeah.
Being in
yeah,
the present
being in
with
the
it.
Present with it. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it is true that it how we do anything is it can be from present, but the qualities of living in the excitement of it rather than paying taxes on it is different.
Yes.
Because the quality
yeah.
of the experience is different.
Yes, it is. Yes. And in a way that we probably don't have time to get into, it's because it's a we, not me orientation.
Yes. And
right?
perhaps
I don't have to own it, and I don't have to do it.
Right.
It's for all of us all the time.
Right. And the we tends to be an ego institution, which relationship with is also frustrating, right? I'm talking about taxes or whatever administrative
yes.
stuff we've got to do. The interaction
yes.
is a personification of the we of ego, which is really hard to deal with.
That's right. It's a different we than the we of life.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So here's our next caller. You are live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Gail. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hello,
oh,
Gail.
Good.
What are you seeing?
I wasn't sure I was supposed to star six or anything. Okay. Hi, this is Gail.
Hey, here we are.
Here we are. So I've been having so much fun with this month because I haven't been doing the assignments. And so I've been seeing all these scams going on. And then when the other person came on last week and said, I haven't been doing the assignments, I went, yes, it's not just me.
No, Gail, it is not just you. I bet if we said, oh, okay, how many people have done all the assignments? There would be a small number of hands going up. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's been really fun to be okay with that. And
yes.
And then I had this big insight the other day, which is just the same thing we've all been talking about, oh, just start now. So I got my journal out, and on day, like, 19, I started the session, the assignments, you know, in my journal. So I was like, well, I didn't have to make all the other stuff up. I didn't have to, you know, go through all that. I just started.
Right. Well, and the thing about it is that this is the practice point that I think is really important for us. As soon as we get over the I have to of ego, we are in the I want to, I choose to of life.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
And that's really, because, you know, I don't practice because I should. I practice because I love it, because it's the only thing I want to do.
Yes.
Right? Because there's no interest in doing all of the resistance and the conversations about how I don't want to and what about me and what's going to happen with this and that's not interesting. And so if we get past that interest in ego, then we're just here with life being guided with whatever, and what life tends to guide us to do is be present.
Yes. Yes.
And, good deal.
Yeah.
Painless and no effort.
When you said that, a memory dropped in of talking to my beloved mother-in-law, I was talking about my morning routine and how I did exercise and how I did sitting and this and that. And she goes, oh, I would love, you know, you're so good for doing that. And that must be, you know, you're so disciplined. I said, no, I do it because I like it.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I enjoy it.
I can't remember if I told people this, but I was flying back from Pennsylvania and was sitting next to a woman who was going on her first silent retreat.
Ooh.
And everybody in her circle said, you know, just looked at her like she was Mother Teresa or something and said, oh, I could never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
My God, I could never do that. And for many of us, it's like, it's really my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there was one thing. What?
Perspective.
Yes. So there's one real quick thing I wanted to say. I had this thing last week where I was rushing from appointment to appointment, and I thought I was doing good with 15 minutes lead time, and for some reason I ended up being an hour early. And
it was
so amazing to me because I realized that I was calm at this medical appointment.
Yeah.
And it really dropped in that it wasn't the medical appointments that were making me nervous. It was how I was getting to the appointments, which was driving in traffic, not knowing where I was going, you know, thinking I had to be there right away, you know, right on time. And by giving myself inadvertently all this time, I realized the ego has not been giving me enough time to stay calm and to take care of
myself,
and provide for myself and
Wow. That's huge, isn't it?
It was, and it was like, who says 15 minutes is enough time? Oh.
Well, and Gail, the connection that you've made that is essential for everybody. Ego is able to grab attention when the sensations in the body are signaling there's something wrong. So anxiety and urgency are definite signals that there's something wrong. So, of course, we're going to go into a conversation with conditioned mind in order to solve whatever the problem is. But what you've realized is there isn't a problem. It's the stress of not having enough time to get to where I'm going that generates those sensations in the body, because the conversation is in the head. They're the sensations. That puts me in a relationship with ego. Now I'm looking to ego to tell me how to solve this problem that it has created.
And tell me what the problem is.
Yes. That's right.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the one.
It was.
Oh, isn't that good to see?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you for that.
Okay. Go happy.
Bye.
Thanks, Gail. Sherry, we have time for one more caller. So here we go. Next caller.
All right.
Now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. Hi, Sangha. This is Kate in Australia.
Well, hello, Kate.
Hello.
What are you seeing in Australia?
I have had a great time with this practice commitment this month, and I have been seeing a lot. And I love this conversation we're having, because it's very much in line with just this great insight I had. So the commitment that I have this week is to listen to my recording while I'm trying to, quote, make a decision on my fitness activities around any kind of body activities. And I'm just listening to the recording a lot. And it basically is a recording affirming that I am already everything I need to be in this moment. I am comfortable. I am enough. And that I'm not in control, despite it looking like I'm the one making a decision, that life is what's actually in control and guiding me.
Uh-huh.
And the other evening, I went to go make my, I online schedule my yoga class for the next morning, and I didn't listen to the recording while I did it, and I caught myself right after I had made the appointment, like, you know, just clicking around online, and I grabbed the recorder, and I put the headphones in, and it was so clear what a completely different place I was making a decision to go to a yoga class versus accepting that I'm not a good or bad person for going to this yoga class. It doesn't. The process in which I'm making this action coming from just I am enough. And the word that came up for me when I was recording about it later, I love this body so much that I want to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And coming from that headspace is just a completely different experience from an absent-minded, yeah. Oh, this is what I need to do tomorrow. I have to do this. Yeah. Okay, check. Here it is. It's on the calendar. Next thing. It was like, wait a minute. I love this body so much. I want to take care of it.
Yes. I want to be in service. And the service that I want to, what I want to serve is what makes this beautiful life possible. I don't want to serve what is attempting to destroy it.
Right.
That's the difference, isn't it?
It is. It is, and it's true for everything, for practice commitments.
Yes.
Food choices. It's not, it has nothing to do with lack and deprivation. It is
right.
It is an act of service and gratitude and love is what all of that can be when we tap into what's actually kind of, you know, calling the shots, controlling the picture.
Yes. What we really want to serve versus what we have been conditioned to serve. And as you're pointing out, it has nothing to do with being a good person or a bad person. It's not the right or the wrong thing. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It's just monumental to get that. Good and bad and right and wrong is just the world of ego. It has nothing to do with I want to take care of this body because it is what enables me to have this beautiful life. I am so grateful to it that I just want to do everything I can to care for it the best way I can. It's a whole different reality, isn't it?
It is. I can't even, I have just seen, I could give 5 more examples of different ways in which that's true in practicing with this in this last week.
Yes.
It's been really, yeah.
Yeah, because, Kate, it's also true, I would project, about the mind. Right? especially in this country, I don't know about your country, but especially in this country, there's a huge number of people who are devoted to destroying their mind, right? Just through all of the ways that a person can destroy their mind, whether it's something supposedly benign like Facebook or cruising around on the internet for hours, or it's alcohol or it's drugs or it's whatever it is. And this mind, again, is what enables us to have a beautiful life. Mm-hmm. And so to protect it and care for it the way we would a beloved child.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. The heart, the same way. The emotions, the same way. Everything about this vehicle, this extraordinary vehicle.
Yep. Yes. Yeah.
Love it.
Love it.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
Go happy, huh?
Yeah, go happy, you too.
Bye-bye. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kate. Sherry, I would encourage everyone who called in today to call in again so that we can hear from you tomorrow. We've had a very, very full queue and so many people who are on there for the first time. So
don't be discouraged.
Have not been on queue. Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. We'll get to you soon.
All right.
So our assignment today, do your daily practice. Today, have a focus on gratitude for what you have.
Oh, nice. Kindness yesterday, gratitude today. Gracious goodness.
All right.
Gracious goodness indeed. Thank you. Truly gracious goodness.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you, Sherry. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.